workshop is, My Recovery is Made Up of Many Moments of Choice. And the leaders for this meeting are Arlene from South Jersey. Yeah. The applause does not have to stop. And Mary from Jersey Shore. And ladies, if you'll just speak into the microphone. Oh, you want to start with this? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Who's going first? Thank you.
Okay, my name is Mary, and I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Mary.
And I recently celebrated my 8th anniversary in this program. I want to talk about some of the choices I've had to make. The first one was whether to come to OA or to try another diet club. I wish I had all the money that I have spent on diet clubs. I could take a nice trip. The second one was whether to follow a food plan or to continue my chaotic way of eating. My pattern was to eat 3 pretty healthy meals during the day, but then I ate from the end of supper until I fell asleep. They say starches help make you sleepy. Well, that's what they did with me. My third choice, and this was a really important one, was a sponsor. My first sponsor was the most loving, kind, generous person. And she had the nerve to move to Florida, so I had to find another sponsor. My current sponsor, who I've had for I think about 6 years, is tougher, and I need somebody to be tough with me at times. I can get sloppy if I'm not careful. Another choice was, how many meetings should I go to? And should I go to meetings or should I stay home and watch TV and probably eat? So, okay, I go to 3 meetings a week if I can. And then what to read? I start every day by reading program literature. I'm a compulsive reader. I will always be a compulsive reader unless I go blind. But I could be reading junk, or I could be reading program literature. I read every morning, and then I pray before I have breakfast, before I call my sponsor, before I do anything else. And then, should I make amends? When I was new in the program, and I really didn't quite understand what it was all about, I went to a 4-step workshop. Before I'd done steps 1, 2, and 3, that's how new I was. If I didn't make my amends, what would the choices be? Well, it would be continuing resentments. I've been divorced for 20 years, but I would say for a good 10 years I carried my resentments around with me. They didn't do me any good at all, believe me. I've been able to make amends to everyone except one person where I don't know where she is, and that's a living amends. About 21 months ago, my life changed dramatically for the worse. At the time, my older son was waiting for a transplant. He had one and then rejected it and was put back on a transplant list. At the same time, my significant other went in to have 2 knees replaced through a pulmonary embolism and had a heart attack and a triple bypass. And all of a sudden, I didn't know which direction I should be running in. One of them was in a hospital in Manhattan. The other one was in a hospital down near Atlantic City. And what I had to do was turn over my will to God instead of, you know, me trying to be in control. This was stuff I could not control. I really couldn't. And it was really hard to say, God, you do whatever you're going to do with my child. I mean, that was a really tough one. But once I got past that, I had some peace of mind. I also really had to take it one day at a time. I mean, with the help of my higher power, I made it through each day. But it wasn't easy. I mean, I dropped into bed at night and I was out. And with the help of people in the program have been extremely kind, having me over for dinner, calling me, praying. And I had to choose my attitude. I could have been, poor me, why is all this happening to me? You know, I think I've been a good person all my life. Other people might differ. But that attitude wouldn't get me any place. I mean, I could just, you know, wallow in misery. I just had to accept what was happening. And there's a line in the big book, acceptance is the answer to all my problems. I really think that's true. My son had a second transplant, which was successful, and was doing well until last fall when he went into the hospital for what was supposed to be routine surgery and is still there and with luck will come out this coming week. It was just one darn complication after another, including MRSA. The choice then was whether to have contact with my ex who, it's funny but it isn't funny. If I walk into a room, he walks out. If he sees me coming, he goes in the other direction. And he, through one of the children, he sent a message that he would be willing to share information he had about our son's medical condition. And I thought, well, I can either be ignorant or I can pick up the phone. And I picked up the phone, and I did get a lot of information and phone numbers, which I've used since. And probably one of the biggest things for me is whether to be honest with my sponsor or not. It would be really easy, since it's over the telephone, not to admit to slips or to minimize things that I shouldn't have done. And I've found that really it's easier to be honest. It makes my life a lot simpler. My life is complicated enough as it is. And these are the choices I've made. Thanks for listening.
My name is Arlene, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater abstinent today. It's ironic that we hear how often our stories are told by other people. This is what I wrote before. Mary said, and I will repeat from my perspective, we didn't plan this. We talked for a couple of minutes, and we recognized that we were in the same age range and had a couple of similarities. I think we might have talked for about 3 or 4 minutes, but we didn't share much about our stories, just that we were going to speak about our moments in a similar approach. So not scripted. So the first thing I want to say is simply 8 letters that really sum up my entire life before. B4OAI8. That's it. My entire emotion. 6 letters? Somebody's counting. Okay. Glad I got that right. I've heard somebody else say, my entire emotion was food. Happy was food. Sad was food. Miserable was food. At 286 pounds, which may or may not have been my top, but is the highest number I know, I can tell you that I was also anorexic. Why do I say I was anorexic? Because I postponed eating each day until 3 p.m. The longer I could go without food, the less time I had to binge. There was a time in my life when my husband walked out when I went for 3 days without eating anything. and didn't even know it until I put the dog's bowl into the sink to fill it up, and there were no dirty dishes. And there was nothing left over in the fridge that was new. And I hadn't even realized I hadn't eaten. So I didn't come in at my physical bottom. I think my body could have easily fattened itself up or, you know, destroyed itself into some other number. But I do think I came in at my spiritual bottom. And I say that because the first moment of choice in my recovery was not to lie to the friend who was trying to get me to go to my first meeting. I'd been to meetings for her recovery. It's one of those addictions where you put the stuff down and you never have to deal with it again. And I knew she needed it because she had a couple of those addictions and they'd had her in the hospital several times. So it worked for her. But at 286 pounds, I had no desire, wish, expectation, anything that the 12 steps could work for me. And that first day, I could not figure out a good enough lie to tell her that I thought I could get away with. So my wonderful addict's compulsive overeater's brain came up with the solution. Go with her. It's a 9 a.m. Sunday morning meeting. She never gets up before noon on the weekends. This is going to be a one-time deal. And I can lie to her for the rest of our friendship. She's still my friend today. I love her dearly. And I don't lie. I went to that first meeting. How that decision got made in my head is a gift from a higher power I did not believe in when I came in. By the way, before I came in, I never had a weight problem, W-E-I-G-H-T. I had a W-A-I-T problem. If I wanted it, I wanted it now. If it meant I had to work to get it, so be it. But did I have a weight problem at 286 pounds? No, I had developed an attitude. You don't like it? Tough. If you were the one sitting next to me on the plane and I was spilling over, I'm sorry. But I had developed an attitude because I was hopeless. I was absolutely hopeless. Our title is Many Moments of Choice. Before OA, I had no moments of conscious choice. I didn't know I had a consciousness. I just dealt with things as they came. To the best of my intellect, there was no emotion. It didn't penetrate because the food covered it up. I grabbed for whatever, and I ate whatever, and there was no ability for emotion to penetrate that food fog. And today, I have moments of choice. I put my will down. It is conscious. I have conscious contact with my higher power. There are days that are really bad, and I say the Serenity Prayer literally nonstop. The last word ends, the next word begins. I have gotten through my father's diagnosis of cancer just before September 11th, and his subsequent death 9 months later when the doctors gave him a 3 to 5 year prognosis. The doctors don't know everything. They tried their best, and he had great doctors. And that prayer got me through. It has gotten me through MRIs that pound at my brain. Now, an MRI is not a big deal, but I have a traumatic brain injury, and noise and light, etc., are major issues. And you can't jump off the table because they just restart the test. So you got to do something. And yelling at the text is no longer an option if you're in recovery. So the Serenity Prayer is a great way for me to stay centered in my brain, recognize that my higher power is in charge, and that I will get through this. Maybe not comfortable, maybe with a, not maybe, definitely with a migraine, but, you know, I'll get through it. And they'll have the tools to get me to the next point. Today, I have moments of emotion. I can be happy. I can be sad. I can be overwhelmed. I can be whatever. And I have those emotions. I have the sadness. And I'm grateful to have it because I'm not stuffing it down with food. When my father died, I grieved. I cried. He was a good man, a good father, a great father. and worth my tears. In the old days, when someone died, I went through it intellectually. I don't think I grieved before. This grief has taken me through the loss of a relationship. And you know, ups and downs and ups and downs. I was married 25 years. And I didn't know how to deal with it as an adult. You know, I was a whatever kid and definitely a food addict, although it didn't show in my body. Oh, I do have pictures. And so life happened. And today I have emotions and I'm grateful for them. And I have moments where things that are not on my food list actually look like food that I want. And somebody said something to me once, and it translated into my brain as this. And if you've heard me before, I'm sorry. I no longer would grab a Monet or a Rembrandt off the wall and tear at it. I can appreciate food that looks beautiful as art. Somebody put a lot of effort to create it. It is beautiful, but it's like that Monet or like that beautiful tapestry. It doesn't belong to me. And today I have moments of clarity because I am abstinent, and I know it doesn't belong to me. So I can admire and respect and not touch. When I awaken, my first conscious thought is of that wonderful little blue book, Voices of Recovery. It's got a beautiful cover on it. It's right next to my bed. And if I can, I read it. Sometimes I have to do something first, but it may come with me. And I read that, and it puts me in touch with my higher power. And every single day, I get exactly the message I need for that day. And it's absolutely awesome. Whoever put those books together, you know, whether it's a big brother watching me, that's my message, and that's what I need to do. Today, I no longer live spontaneously when it comes to whatever. Skip meals, grab food, do whatever. I do what I'm supposed to do. I do the next right thing almost all the time. Am I a perfect person? Never. Do I work hard at it? Yes, to the best of my ability. That's it. Thanks to this program and moments of saying that resentment prayer, I no longer become physically ill at trying to say the name of my ex-spouse. And I did have two spontaneous moments 2 years in a row. Last December and the December before, when I found myself at my grandson's concert, I spontaneously wished this man with a full heart happy birthday. It did not come from this brain. It did not come from this whatever. It came from my higher power. I didn't know I was going to do it. When the words came out of my mouth the first time, I'm like, whoa. And when it came out the second time, I was equally surprised and grateful to be able to say this, to be able today not to cause my children and my grandchildren, and believe it or not, I now have a great-grandchild as of September, not to cause any of them grief by having to say, hey, if it's a something, you got a choice of who you invite. On Palm Sunday, I, who am Jewish, am very grateful to be looking forward to spending a day's worth of moments with this ex-husband and his lovely new wife at the first communion of one of our grandchildren. It is going to be an awesome event, as were their baptisms. And he will be there. And unlike the wedding of those children's parents, I will not cringe, and this program will carry me through, no matter what. I want to end with two things about moments. And this was a recent quote I heard. We credit the mathematician. We accept the fact that mathematicians tell us that 4 is 2 times 2. But according to this philosopher, 2 is not 2 times 1. One person alone and a second person, for me that's a sponsor, is 20,000 times me being alone. And something absolutely brilliant that I heard at Region, get a sponsor and work the steps with your sponsor. My sponsor has taken me through every single difficult moment that I have given her. Thank you.